something from this morning's class. What was the general topic, Paul?
This morning we heard about Bhagavad Dharma, uncontaminated religious process.
Yes.
It's practiced by the Arhats.
Yes. And what is this mysterious process? Yes, something.
It's okay to say that the presence of the sun.
Yes. But yet the devotees may think like that, but they still glorify Krishna. Because why? It's the natural position of this is what Bhagavad Dharma is. Just for the pleasure of Krishna. What does Abhilas mean?
Desire.
So in Mora Abhilas Vilas Pandeyo. So my only desire is. So Abhilas means desire. So Anya means other. So other desires, Anya Bilasita Sunyam. So other desires are just, they don't exist. And the only desire is to please you. So this is a large part of the definition of pure devotional service, Bhagavad Dharma, which is the activity of the soul. Srinya Devi Mataji, you had something you remembered from this morning's class? What do other religions teach that are different? Some religions teach that everything is dependent. And also some religions teach surrender. In fact, Islam, that is what Islam means. It means surrender. But there is no clear conception, basically, of who is Krishna, who we are, and what exactly is the relationship between ourselves and Krishna having nothing to do with the body. That we are souls, that we are eternal, and we are meant simply to serve Krishna. Anya bilasita sunyam, jnana karma anavrita, anukulena krishna anusilanam bhakti uttamam. This is actually pure devotional service. So continuing, after the Lord appeared and Maharaj Chitraketu offered his prayers, and now we're going to hear Lord Shankarshan, who's Lord Anantadev, we're going to hear his response to the prayers of Chitraketu after he came. So in text 50, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Anantadev, because Anantadev means limitless, so this is one secondary quality of Krishna, that he has no limit. And this was very much what he is being glorified as being limitless, because he's the super soul, basically. So the super soul is everywhere and everything and everyone, and everything is resting upon the super soul. Mata smitim jnanam apanam cha. Everything comes from the super soul. So he replied, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Anantadev, replied as follows. O King, as a result of your having accepted the instructions spoken about me by the great sages Narada and Angira, you have become completely aware of transcendental knowledge. So the Lord is approving of the words of Chitraketu that glorify him. Because you are now educated in the spiritual science, you have seen me face to face. Therefore, you are now completely perfect. Very nice purport by Srila Prabhupada that we shall read. The perfection of life is to be spiritually educated and to understand the existence of the Lord and how he creates, maintains, and annihilates the cosmic manifestation. So this is, again, the super soul. This is the position of the super soul, because the super soul's relationship is with the material creation. In the spiritual world, there is no super soul. So this is the perfection of education, to understand the super soul. When one is perfect in knowledge, he can develop his love of Godhead. So knowledge brings one to the position of the ability to develop love for Krishna. So this is very much the theme of the words of Anantadev. He's going to explain knowledge or jnana. And basically that knowledge is how everything rests upon him. And this knowledge of who Krishna is, far from being jnana in the sense of jnana kama anavrita, something to be rejected, rather it is required. Knowledge of who Krishna is required to develop love for Krishna. So when one is in perfect knowledge, he can develop his love for Krishna through the association of such persons as Narada and Angira and the members of their disciplic succession. Then one is able to see the unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. Although the Lord is unlimited, by His causeless mercy, He becomes visible to the devotee, who is then able to see Him. In our present position of conditioned life, we cannot see or understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We need Him to reveal Himself, and the process is given by the Lord's devotees. And when one follows that process, then one, by Krishna's mercy, is allowed to see Him. In our present position, we cannot see or understand the personality of Godhead. Ataksi Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grahyam Indriyai Sevan Mukihi Jivadau Swayam Eva Sporatyadau. No one can understand the transcendental nature of the name, form, quality, and pastimes of Sri Krishna through his materially contaminated senses. Only when one becomes spiritually saturated by transcendental service to the Lord are the transcendental name, form, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord revealed to him. So what does spiritually saturated mean? Huh? Well, saturated. What specifically does saturated mean? The consciousness. Saturated means fully absorbed. Just as if when one takes a cloth that's white in color and it is dry, and he puts that cloth into some red dye, some red liquid. So that cloth absorbs the red liquid. It becomes saturated and completely saturated. So our consciousness to know Krishna, to understand Krishna, to love Krishna by Krishna's mercy must become saturated with Krishna thoughts. And then the name, form, quality, and pastimes of the Lord are revealed to him. If one takes the spiritual life under the direction of Narada Muni or his representative and thus engages himself in the service of the Lord, he qualifies himself to see the Lord face to face. So the instructions of one's spiritual master, of all the Shastra, are meant to do this. Smartavya satatam vishnu vismartavya no jatachit sarva vidina shera cha etyad eva kinkara. That the purpose of all the rules and regulations is to maximize our remembrance of Krishna, fill our consciousness with Krishna. And then Prabhupada quotes, the Brahma Samhita states, Premanjana Charita Bhakti Valochanena Santa Sadaeva Rideyeshu Valokayanti Yam Shamasundarama Chintya Guna Sarupam Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Vajami. I worship the primeval Lord Govinda, who is always seen by his devotee, whose eyes are anointed with the pulp of love. So this is the only issue of our life. How to anoint our eyes with the pulp, the collyrium, the cudgel of love. And then Krishna is always seen by such a devotee. He is seen in his eternal form of Shyamasunda situated within the heart of the devotee. So what is the essence of the process? Ataksi Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Graham Indriyai Sevan Mukhihi Jivadal Swayam Evas Puratyada. That one begins with the tongue and one uses all of one's senses in Krishna's service and saturates the senses and the consciousness with Krishna. So one must follow the instructions of the spiritual master. Thus one becomes qualified and later sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead as evinced by Maharaj Chitraketu. So one must become qualified, it's obvious. One must become perfectly qualified to be with Krishna. The pot of our consciousness cannot have any holes or cracks. It must be able to carry with purity. In other words, purity, no self-interest. It must be able to carry Krishna, no exploitative motive. Anyabhilasita sanyam ganakamaranabhita. So in the second verse of what he's going to say, first verse he explained that you are perfect. Now, your words, you're fully educated. Now he's going to reveal more about himself. And again, many of the instructions are going to be very much on the level of knowledge about him, but jnanic type of knowledge. So he describes in text 51, all living entities, moving and non-moving, are my expansion and are separate from me. So this is Jiva Bhuta. I am the supersoul of all living beings. So he's explaining who he is. The moving and the non-moving. He is the supersoul who exists because I manifest them. I am the form. So he's the supersoul in every living entity's heart, and the living entities are manifest from him. More about him. I am the form of the transcendental vibrations like Omkar and Hare Krishna Hare Ram, and I am the Supreme Absolute Truth. These two forms of mind, namely the transcendental sound and the eternally blissful spiritual form of the deity, are my eternal forms. They are not material. So this is how Krishna manifests himself as the Supersoul, as the holy names, as the deity. He is the absolute truth, Omkar. This is Krishna's actual forms. These are his forms. Now we're going to skip that important and long purport and move to text 52. More about Krishna. So he's transcendentally situated. In this world of matter, which the conditioned soul accepts as consisting of enjoyable resources. What does that mean? The conditioned souls accept the world of matter as enjoyable resources. Yes? Yes, these are opportunities or resources to exploit for my pleasure. So when he... this is how he views the world. So what's the verse in the Bhagavad Gita? Yes, good. And Purusha Prakriti Stohi Bhunkte Prakriti Janaya. So the conditioned soul who is thinking like this, trying to exploit the material world, he expands. The conditioned soul expands. His consciousness expands into the material world. He tries to touch everything with his consciousness to exploit it, thinking that he is the enjoyer of the material world. Similarly, the material world expands in the living entity. So all the world expands as the sense objects which become alive in the consciousness of the living entity. So they expand in the living entity as a source of enjoyment. In this way, they both expand. So the living entity, his consciousness expands into the material world, and the material world expands into the living entity. So in this way, they both expand, but because they are my energies, both the living entity and its consciousness, and the material world, they're my energies, they are both pervaded by me, because the super soul is all pervading in the material world. As the Supreme Lord, I am the cause of these effects, and one should know that both of them rest in me. So there is the living entity's material consciousness, which is an overlay upon his own natural consciousness, which is pure. And then there is the material world, which expands into the living entity. These are both the energies of the Lord, and these both are resting in him. So even the material world and even the polluted consciousness of the soul, these are pervaded by Krishna. They are not separate from him. There is no place where Krishna's influence doesn't fully exert itself, and therefore he is called the Absolute Truth. He is all-inclusive. There is nothing external to him. There is no devil who has a revolution and is escaping his power. Everything is pervaded by him and supported by him. Vastabhyaham idam krishnam ekam sena stito jagat. Now text 53-54. More things that are pervaded and supported by Krishna. When a person is in deep sleep, he dreams. Usually the definition of deep sleep is non-dreaming. But here, because the three states of consciousness are usually described as deep sleep, which means non-dreaming, dreaming, sleep, and awakeness. So when a person is in deep sleep, he dreams, the text says, and he sees himself, he sees in himself many other objects, because it's all going on when one is dreaming. All that he perceives are what's in his own consciousness. Because when he's dreaming that there's a big mountain or something like that, it's all existing. The mountain exists only in his mind. So he sees within himself many other objects, such as great mountains and rivers, or perhaps even the entire universe. Have any of you ever perceived the entire universe while dreaming? Not even you. Part of it. Huh? No. More than that. So, although they are far away, he sees all these things in himself. Sometimes, so that's one example. Sometimes when one awakens from a dream, this is in waking consciousness, he sees that he's in a human form, lying in his bed in one place, and one perceives himself like that. This is me. Then he sees himself in terms of various conditions, as belonging to a particular nationality, family, and so on. So that's in a waking consciousness. He's perceiving a whole different perception of reality. On the conditions of deep sleep, dreaming, and wakefulness, these are the three. They are but the energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So those states of consciousness are also existing as Krishna's energies. There is nothing, again, independent of him. And therefore, in the conclusion, which is of this text, the last line of the second verse is Drastaram Param Smaret. So the creator, Drastaram, the creator or seer of all such conditions, of all, so consciousness is expressed in one out of those three states. Deep sleep, where there is no consciousness basically. And dreaming consciousness and awake consciousness. So all these three are resting upon the creator of those three states, which is the Lord. So dastaram, the creator, a seer of such conditions, param, the supreme, smaret. One should always remember him. And remember, in that way, whatever consciousness one is in, if one understands that it is resting upon Krishna, it is supported by him, dastaret param smaret, therefore one will remember him, the Supreme Lord, and be Krishna conscious. And that Lord, all the conditions of deep sleep, dreaming, and wakefulness are but energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should always remember the original creator of these conditions. This is the Supersoul. Matta, Smat, Smritam, Jnanam, Apolanam, Cha. Everything, all states of consciousness, forgetfulness, remembrance, it comes from him. So that Supreme Lord who is unaffected by them, they come from him, they are resting upon him, but he is beyond them and transcendental. Here is Prabhupada's purport. We'll remember, we'll read most of it. None of these conditions of the living entities, namely deep sleep, dreaming and wakefulness, is substantial. They don't actually have reality. They are different varieties of illusion, changing energies of the Lord. They are simply displays of various phases of conditional life. There may be many mountains, rivers, trees, bees, tigers, and snakes that are situated far away. But in a dream, one may imagine them to be nearby. Similarly, as one has subtle dreams at night, when the living entity is awake, he lives in gross dreams of nation, community, society, possessions, skyscrapers, bank balance, position, and honor. Daydream, night dream, Prabhupada said, they are the same. Under the circumstances, one should know that his position is due to his contact with the material world. One is situated in different positions in various forms of life that are all but creations of the illusory energy which works under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is the ultimate actor, and the conditioned living entity should simply remember this original actor, Sri Krishna. This is life's purpose, to become Krishna conscious, to always think about Krishna somehow or another. And if one is awake to reality, how everything is resting upon him, upon Krishna, it is not at all difficult to remember him, because every situation we are in, he is the cause, the ultimate cause of that situation. Our consciousness, whether it is affected by ignorance, passion, goodness, whether we are happy or sad or this or that, it is still resting upon Krishna's energies. It is not us. We identify with it, but it is not us. So we should simply remember this original actor, Sri Krishna. He is making everything occur. As living entities, we are being carried away by the waves of prakriti, or nature, which work under the Lord's direction, maya dakshena, maya adiaksha, under his vision, supervision. Prakriti suyate sacharan. Bhaktivinod Thakur sings, mitche mayara vachayaja veche kacha habudububai. Why are you being carried away by the waves of the illusory energy in various phases of dreaming and wakefulness? They are all dreaming. These are all creations of Maya. That's the end of the quotation from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Our only duty is to remember the supreme director of this illusory energy, Krishna. For us to do this, the Shastra advises us, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kebalam, Kaloa Nasteva 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 Gatyanayata. One should constantly chant the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The Supreme Lord is realized in three different phases as Brahman, Paramatman, Bhagawan. But Bhagawan is the ultimate realization. One who realizes Bhagawan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, is the most perfect Mahatma. Vasudeva Savamiti Samahatma Sadolava. In the human form of life, one should understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for then one will understand everything else. Yasmin Vigyate Savam Ivam Vigyatam Bhavati. What does that mean? That if you understand the Supreme Lord, you understand everything. Does that mean you understand everything, meaning how many windows there are in the how many windows are there in the Empire State Building in New York City? Is that what it means? How many? You know? How do you know? You went and counted them. How many hairs on my head? It's getting easier to know how many, but on some, how many hairs are there on heads, on one's own head? We don't even know that. So is that what Krishna is speaking of, or in that verse, Yasmin Vigyate Savam Ivam Vigyatam Bhavati? If you know Krishna, you know everything. Is that what it means?
Because our business is only to know Krishna, nothing else.
That's what Prabhupada says. He answered it like that. He said it means to know Krishna. That's what it means to know everything. But it also means that you understand everything, because everything in this world, the windows in the Empire State Building, as well as the hairs on the head, they all have a relationship with Krishna. So the essence of everything is its relationship with Krishna. And to know Krishna, meaning to know everything, doesn't mean you know everything separate from Krishna, but you know everything in relationship to Krishna, and that is reality. And to see things as separate from Krishna, and to know things separate from Krishna, is not actually to know them, it's actually to not know them, it's actually illusion. That is what Maya's function is. To make us see things as separate, as if they were separate from Krishna. And therefore, to see the world as exploitable commodities, resources for our pleasure. So, Yasmin Vigyate Savamevam Vigyatam Bhavati. To know Krishna is to know everything. And you know everything in its essential existence in relationship with Krishna. So the verse again explained that these three states of consciousness were dependent upon, they were coming from Krishna, and therefore drastaram param smaret, knowing those conditions, one should remember Krishna, the Param, the Supreme. Text 55. Know me, the Super Soul Lord Anantadev Shankarshan says. Know me to be the Supreme Brahman, the all-pervading Super Soul, through whom, because Brahman means that which is everywhere, and the Super Soul is the Lord by which he pervades everything through his potency. So know me to be the Supreme Brahman, the all-pervading Super Soul, through whom the sleeping living entity can understand his dreaming condition and his happiness beyond the activities of the material senses. So by him, by this Super Soul, by his grace, again, Mata Smitam Jnanam Aponam Cha, by the grace of the Super Soul, the living entity who is sleeping. In what sense are we all sleeping? Yes, we're dreaming. We're dreaming something is real, but it is not real. We're dreaming illusion as real. So that living entity who's in that type, through the Super Soul, he can understand his dreaming condition and the happiness beyond the activities of the material senses. In other words, by the grace of the Supersoul, we are in Maya, or by the grace of the Lord, we are in beyond the material energy. That is to say, I am the cause of the activities of the sleeping living being. In other words, it is the Maya of Krishna that keeps everyone in illusion, and the withdrawal of that Maya keeps a living entity in the enlightened state. So in that sense, it is our illusion and our enlightenment both rest upon Krishna. That makes us quite helpless. And that helplessness, when even, because you can't even become Krishna conscious by your own, by your endeavor. It is ultimately, everything is dependent upon mercy, upon Krishna lifting the veil of illusion. Maya Javani Katshanam, Kunti Devi says. You are covered by the illusion, the curtain, the illusory curtain of Maya. We cannot see Krishna. We cannot see ourselves even. But to speak of another or see things in the proper perspective, that illusory consciousness is also a Krishna's potency, as is explained here. And Krishna himself is that one which everything is resting upon. Then text 56. If one's dreams during sleep, so here comes a question. So if one's consciousness and one's dreams during sleep are merely subject matters witnessed by the Supersoul, so if our consciousness in sleep or in illusion or in a wakefulness, if this is the energy of Krishna, this is the point, how can the living entity who is different from the Supersoul remember the activities of his dreams? So how does the living, if it's all Krishna's energy, how do we access it and remember it? After, the experience of one person cannot be understood by another. You can't understand exactly what my mind is like. I can't understand exactly what your mind is like. So if these three states of consciousness are just exhibitions of Krishna's energies, how, or Krishna's own mind that he's conscious of, how is it that the living entity has access to those states of mind? This verse is very, very, very tricky, difficult to understand. Maybe Ali Prashapu can look at some of the commentaries and see if he could decipher it more. But this is basically the best I can do in understanding what Lord Ananta Dev is saying here. So how is it possible, he's asking the question, how is it possible to access that consciousness if the living entity is just passive? If it's just, because he's already said everything is the energy of the Lord, everything is his own energy. So what? How can the living entity access that energy if it's in the same way? How you can't know? I can't know what's in Sankirtan Prabhu's mind exactly, because one person cannot access the mind of another. So that's the question that's being raised here. And then going on, therefore the knower of the facts, the living entity, yet the living entity does know things, he experiences things, who inquires into the incidents manifest in dreams, so he's asking about it, he's trying to understand what's going on. That means, that implies he has some independent consciousness as well. So he's inquiring into the incidents manifested in dreams and wakefulness. He is different from the circumstantial activities. That means he has a consciousness that's separate from that which he's experiencing because he's inquiring into it. His consciousness has some objectivity, so his consciousness is not the same as the consciousness of the Lord. This seems to be the point. his consciousness is not exactly the same as the Lord's, even though his consciousness, as was described previously in the three states, is really resting upon the Lord, but it's not that simple either. There are two things that are going on. It's the Lord's consciousness and the living entity's consciousness, which is accessing. And both of those are that knowing factor that the living entity has, the capacity to know, to be conscious of something, that is Brahman, that is spiritual energy. And that is his own spiritual energy. So the Lord has his energy, and the living entity is accessing that energy through his own energy. Because we don't want to mistake, because the previous verses, one could have taken it, that the living entity doesn't have any individual consciousness. Everything that exists is just the Lord's consciousness. So this verse explains something on a different level, more subtle, that yes, everything is resting on the Lord's consciousness, but the living entity also has ability to know. And he too has consciousness. And therefore in the third part of the text, in other words, the quality of knowing belongs to the living entity and to the Supersoul. So it's not only the Supersoul is conscious, but in our foolishness, we think only I am conscious. That's Maya. But to think that it's only the Lord who's conscious and all consciousness is Him, that's impersonalism. So that's also denied. So something in between is true, that the living entity is conscious and the Lord is conscious. But the living entity, his consciousness is minute and it is dependent on the Lord's consciousness. Thus the living entity can also experience the activities of dreams and wakefulness. So the Lord supplies the energy and the living entity invests through Maya Shakti, he invests his consciousness in this energy that's supplied by the Lord. But he has consciousness and the Lord has consciousness. Thus the living entity can also experience the activities of dreams and wakefulness. In both stages, the knower is unchanged, but is qualitatively one with the Supreme Brahman. So the living entity and the Supreme Lord, they are both the same. But yet, that sameness is only of quality, it is not of quantity. Did you find out anything else about this verse? So he has his own consciousness, that's the point. So this verse, in its complicated jnani type of way, shows that there is not just one consciousness, one undifferentiated one consciousness. Qualitatively, the insignificant tiny soul, us, we have the same type of consciousness, because consciousness means consciousness, it's spiritual. But quantitatively, we are tiny, we are insignificant. And this is, we are Brahman, but there is Supreme Brahman. So sometimes the acharyas give the example that there are three states of consciousness. There's waking, there's sleep, and deep sleep. So even though in the consciousness of deep sleep you don't have any consciousness, practically speaking, that's what deep sleep means. You lose, I think the consciousness goes into the heart chakra, actually, in yoga it's described. It retreats, the mind, the citta, retreats within one of the chakras, the nadis. And you have no consciousness of your own existence. And that's often compared to Brahman realization. So when someone is having a miserable, terrible day, from beginning of the day to the end of the day, only terrible things have happened, what does he want to do? Just looking forward to go to sleep. And then his relief from all the misery is that deep sleep where he has no consciousness, no dreaming, because if he dreams, it's only going to be nightmares. So what he's looking forward to is that rest of unconsciousness, where the consciousness retreats and there is no consciousness of oneself. So that's compared often to Brahman realization, which is a reaction against the miseries of individual existence in the miserable material world. But our acharyas give the example that it is not really, one really doesn't lose one's individuality, although one thinks one's lost one's individuality. Because you go to sleep, and then you go into that deep sleep where you're not conscious of yourself. And then when you awaken, you know, you say, oh, that was such a good sleep I had. So there is a continuity of that I-ness that was actually present, even though you for that short time, you lose consciousness of your individuality. So anyway, that's somewhat off the topic, but it has to do with wakefulness and deep sleep and dreaming type of sleep. So continuing. So when a living entity, thinking himself different from me, forgets his spiritual identity of qualitative oneness with me in eternity, knowledge and bliss, his material conditioned life begins. So all these different states of conditioned consciousness are a result of Maya doing one thing, giving us the illusion that we are separate from Krishna, while Lord Anantadev Shankarshan is explaining that it is not possible for anything to be separate from Krishna. Everything is simply resting upon Him. It is not possible for us to be separated from Krishna. In Maya, in illusion, we are feeling ourselves, and therefore the existential loneliness of every soul is always manifest. Because we feel as if we are incomplete, as if we are missing something, and really we are missing someone. And that illusion, illusory Maya, has to be lifted and our relationship with Krishna reestablished. And that is called yoga. So either by jnana yoga, karma yoga, or bhakti yoga, one's business is to establish one's relationship with Krishna. So if one takes to jnana yoga, one establishes one's relationship with Krishna through the process of jnana, and one attains Brahman realization. And through bhakti, then Krishna reveals himself and one awakens one's love for Bhagawan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in other words, instead of identifying, this is what material conditioned life is, instead of identifying his interests with mine, he becomes interested in his bodily expansions, like wife, children, and material possessions. He thinks that's his self-interest. In this way, by the influence of his actions, one body comes from another, and after one death, another death takes place. So this is a result of this type of separation, this result of Maya, thinking one self-separate or different from Krishna. Because we can't actually define who we are without saying our relationship with Krishna. Therefore, aham brahmasmi, saying, defining ourselves as Brahman is incomplete, while saying Jivera Srupoy Krishna Nityadas is far more complete, because it describes the living entity's position in relationship with Krishna as Krishna's servant. 58. So that describes the different states, and everything is resting on Krishna. So all this so far is described how everything is resting on Krishna, and to see one's own consciousness or self as separate from Krishna causes one to identify wrong things as mine, in illusion and affected by Maya. And the result of that is repeated birth and death. So how to attain perfection? A human being can attain perfection in life by self-realization through the Vedic literatures and its practical application. This is possible, especially for a human being born in India, the land of piety. A man who obtains birth in such a convenient position but does not understand himself is unable to achieve the highest perfection, even if he is exalted to life in the higher planetary systems. One misses who one really is. Remembering the great trouble found in the field of activities performed by fruit of results, and remembering how one receives the reverse of the results one desires. I don't know why they accuse us of being negative about the material world. Just listen to what this is, what God is saying. Remembering the great troubles found in the field of activities performed for fruit of results, and remembering how one receives the reverse of the results one desires, whether from material actions or from fruit of activities recommended in the Vedic literatures. Even if one acts religiously according to Shastra, if one is desiring on this material level, an intelligent man should cease from the desires for fruit of actions. For by such endeavors, one cannot achieve the ultimate goal of life. On the other hand, if one acts without desires for fruit of results, in other words, if he engages in devotional activities, he can achieve the highest goal of life with freedom from miserable conditions. So on the material level, everyone is striving to become free from the miseries of material life, but one is getting exactly the opposite of that which one desired. But if one engages in devotional service, acting without desire for fruit of results, he can achieve the highest goal of life. And Prabhupada doesn't say he can achieve the highest goal of life, which is freedom from miserable conditions. No, he can achieve the highest goal of life with freedom from miserable conditions. The freedom from misery comes automatically if one achieves the highest goal of life. Kleshagni, yes? Kleshagni, it comes at what stage? Huh? In sadhana, but what stage of sadhana? It seems to be after anartana vritti. It seems to be. Because anartana vritti, you can't be. If you have anartas and influenced heavily by the modes of passion and ignorance, how can you be kleshagni? How can you be free from miseries? So considering this, one should cease from material desires. And what does it mean to be above anatta navritti, to be anishta? It means that regardless of what's happening, and we read this yesterday, just continue serving and accept one's fate, as difficult as it may be. One accept one's fate, tateinu kampam susamikshamano bhunjane vatma kripababhakam, and continue serving because I'm a servant of Krishna. And that is basically the platform of Nishtha. And that, by accepting one's fate, miseries included, one's miseries stop affecting one. quite contradictory. We try to push away the miseries, and the more we try to push away miseries, the more our consciousness points to the disparity between what we wish reality was and what reality is, and the more miserable we become. And if we just simply accept Krishna's mercy and what form it comes in, then there is no misery. So considering this, which is acting without a desire for fruitive results, engaging in devotional service, and attaining the highest goal of life with freedom from miserable conditions. Considering this, one should cease from material desires. But it's hard to turn a switch and cease from material desires. This is speaking of the... This is what jnanis do. They are very, very detached, very renounced. As husband and wife, a man and woman, this is an example. A man and woman plan together to attain happiness and decrease unhappiness, working jointly in many ways. But because their activities are full of desires, these activities are never a source of happiness, and they never diminish distress. On the contrary, they are a cause of great unhappiness. One should understand, this is text 62, that the activities of persons who are proud of their material experience bring only results contradictory to those such person conceived while awake, sleeping, and deeply sleeping. One should further understand that the spirit soul, although very difficult for the materialist to perceive, is above all these conditions. And by the strength of one's discrimination, jnanam vijnanam santripto madbhakta purusho bhavet. Here is the conclusion. This is how the Lord is explaining, because this is the super soul, matam smitam jnanam apoanam cha. From him comes remembrance, intelligence, and forgetfulness. Or here, from him is coming great knowledge. And one should understand with one's intelligence the result of fruitive actions. And what should one do? Become a jnani? No. Madbhakta purusho bhavet. Knowing these things, jnana vijnana, with knowledge and practical application of the knowledge, santripta, being fully satisfied, madbhakta, my devotee, one should, purusha, a person, bhavet, should become my devotee. This is the prescription. Thus, becoming experienced in transcendental knowledge, one should become my devotee. And this is the conclusion that the super soul, Anantadev, Shankarshan is explaining, and this was the conclusion that of Chitraketu Maharaj's words, his prayers, and therefore, right in the beginning, Anantadev said, I accept, you've understood everything. You've understood Bhagavad Dharma. You should become my devotee. But he's just taken a jnani way to explain it here. But Chitraketu had explained it in his wonderful prayers. Persons who try to reach the ultimate goal of life must expertly observe the Supreme Absolute Person. See how everything is resting in him and the living entity, and know that the living entity is an individual who are one in quality in their relationship as part and whole. This is the ultimate understanding of life. There is no better truth than this. O King, if you accept this conclusion of mine, being unattached to material enjoyment, adhering to me with great faith, and thus becoming proficient and fully aware of knowledge and its practical application in life. So this is, he explained what knowledge was. Everything is resting upon Krishna, and as long as one has fruitive desires, one will feel oneself separate from Krishna, one will become entangled in karma, and one will take one birth after another. That's knowledge, and the practical application of life is to become a devotee. Give up fruitive desires, and become a servant of Krishna. And if you do this, fully aware of knowledge and its practical application in life, You will achieve the highest perfection by attaining me. Sri Sukadev Goswami continued, after thus instructing Chitraketu and assuring him of perfection in this way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supreme Spiritual Master, the Supreme Soul, Sankarsan, disappeared from that place as Chitraketu looked on. Thus then, the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 6th canto, 16th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled, King Chitraketu Meets the Supreme Lord. So, tomorrow, I think we shall finish, maybe, oh no, 3 more classes on the ending of this pastime of how Chitraketu Maharaj ended up as Dhritarashtra. So 3 more classes will bring us to the end of that. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. It means you've studied it for many, many, many lives, Mataji. And now you don't need it anymore to go through all that intellectualization. Just try and please Krishna. But Sukadev Goswami, he thinks it's important enough because he's trying to bring everyone, regardless of their position, the jnanis, the karmis, the this, the that, everyone to Vrindavan. So he's showing here, as with the Sanat, with Sanat Kumar was speaking in the 4th canto, that the perfection of jnana is bhakti. So that's where jnana ends, in bhakti. Because seeing is shantaras, and there is no seva. Seeing and meditating, that's the shantaras. So the devotees have more love than that even. Yes, yeah, so those, the first 2 verses. And yes, to see anything is separate from him, know that to be my illusory energy. So that's sambandha jnana. So, so much of what goes on is sambandha jnana. But also how encouraging it is that Chitraketu was so attached on a simply mundane level in the beginning, and how he reached the perfection through good instruction. So everything is possible by good association.
So it's practical.
See, it's also going back to what you said, that this is, remember that this is the Lord's response to Chitraketu's conclusion after having achieved the perfection of seeing the Lord, Sakshat Darshan. He made some statements, so the Lord confirms them in a way that shows that even for jnanis, this is the correct conclusion, Bhagavad Dharma. And in the next canto, in canto 7, there's going to be a more explicit and simple explanation of what Bhagavad Dharma is by Prahlad Maharaj, which means just hearing and chanting, remembering Vishnu. But for the purpose of including those who are extremely intellectual, Krishna or Sukadeva Goswami and Vyasadeva have chosen to put the Bhagavatam together in such a way that they can advance further. Is that a good idea? It's kind. You mean, when it says that I've become purified by seeing you, is it more purified than he was before?
Yeah, because previously it was mentioned.
Yeah, is that the question?
Yes. When it is said that someone became...
Like Brihad Bhagavatamrita. There's so many different levels that are said to be perfection. But from the point of view of Sanatana Goswami, the level of perfection, even those are so exalted, there's nevertheless, and they all can be considered, Prahlad, so many can be considered perfect, but still there are perfections above all perfections. There's a purport that explains why that happens. I don't know if that comes up tomorrow or the next day, but it's Krishna. Krishna wants to bring him home quickly. Because he was on the Vidyadharas. He was enjoying. On a pure devotional level. But still he was on a higher planet. And Krishna wanted him home. Okay, let's end. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhaktivedanta ki jai.